Book of Philippians in the New Testament, chapter number 4. And we'll read one verse there, and then we'll go back to Psalm number 126. We've been bringing a series of messages. This started the first Sunday of the year. And unless the Lord leads differently, this will probably be the last in this series. This is our sixth message on the treasures of the Lord, or the treasures of darkness. In Isaiah 45, verse 3, we find that the Lord has promised to give unto us treasures of darkness. And we have taken these six weeks now, and tried to develop messages along the line of the treasures that we have as the child of God. They are revealed to us, but they are dark to the world. The world does not understand. And this morning we want to continue and finish up this series of messages. And I do believe that maybe, and I do hope and desire, that these messages have helped all of us as much as I think they've helped me in my life. And I've seen folks respond to invitations, seen people saved, and we've seen the blessings of the Lord. And I pray God would continue to do that as we, throughout this year, try to find the mind of God. I believe you build a church on preaching. You don't build it on gimmicks. You don't build it on giveaways. You build it on preaching the Word of God and building people up in the faith, letting people know the realization of what sin is all about, how they can be saved, be a new creature in Christ, and become a part of the family of God. The Bible says in the book of Philippians, chapter number 4, verse number 1, it says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." Now, you'll notice here that to the people of the Philippian church, Paul says, "My brethren, dearly beloved." He says that they're longed for. Then he says that they are his joy and his crown. Now, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 13, verse number 44, "The kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in a field." Now, I understand that's talking about Israel, but I want us to bring that over this morning to the place where we are in our study. Now, in the book of Psalms 126, verse number 1, Philippians 4 says that those people were Paul's joy and that they were his crown. They were his dearly beloved people. Those are folks that he had won unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the Bible says in the Old Testament, in the book of Psalms, number 126, verse number 1, it says, "When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like unto them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. And said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south." Now notice verse number 5 and verse number 6. "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Verse 5 says, "They that go forth, and they that sow, they must sow in tears. And when they sow in tears, they shall reap in joy. Then he that goeth forth," thank God we can go forth, "he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." I want to speak this morning upon the topic of treasures in the harvest field. Treasures in the harvest field. Folks, we are in a world of people that need what we have. I have folks call me, I have people to call me, and I have preachers that have called just recently and I said, "Preacher, we want something from the Lord, and we believe that God wants to do something for us." And folks, the only way that we can get anything from God, as I've said before through these passages of Scripture each week, the only way that we're going to get anything from God is to get where God wants us to be and serve Him in spirit and in truth. I repeat that again today. The only way that we're going to get something from the Lord that amounts to anything is for us to be where God wants us to be and then get busy in the work. And this morning, I want us to think about the harvest field in which we have treasures that are hidden many, many times. They're treasures of darkness and they're hid. But thank God, the Word of the Lord can bring those treasures to light for the child of God. We've noted the treasures that we have in Him. Treasures in the Lord Jesus Christ. The second message was treasures in the house of God. That which we have right here in this building are treasures that are unspeakable. We have treasures in heaven that have gone on before us. We have treasures in our earthly homes that God has given to us. Our homes ought to be a little place that's just like heaven. Then last week we noted that we have treasures within this earthen vessel in the house that God has given us, this body that we are to use for the honor and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we culminate the whole thing together in really why God has left us here. Really, why do we have treasures in Him? Why do we have treasures in the house of God? Why do we have treasures in heaven? Why do we have all of these treasures? It's because that there are treasures out there in the field that we as the people of God must go for with weeping, bearing the precious seed of God, that we're to bring them unto the Lord Jesus Christ. We must, we're compelled to go out into the highways and into the hedges and to compel people to come unto the Lord. The Lord does not drive us into the field, but He desires that we go there. He doesn't force us out there, but His will for us is that we go and tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. He asks us to go. He asks us willingly to give of ourselves and to give of our time, to give of our talents, to give of our money, our resources, that we could go into the harvest field and to dig out that treasure that's there in this world. You go over to the land of Israel, you'll find that when a person bought a piece of ground, they would get clear title to that everything that was in that field, or everything that was in that piece of ground, that parcel of land that they had purchased, everything that was in there was there for the purpose and for the reason that they could go and obtain that. Now, during the time that we think about, during the times of Israel and the kings, and during the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, they didn't have First National Bank. They didn't have Farmers Bank. They didn't have People's Bank. They didn't have the banks that we think of as keeping our treasures and keeping our goods in. But they would go out into the field, and they would take all those things that were precious to them, and they'd put them in a container, and they'd dig down into the earth, and they'd place those treasures there in that earth. And they were buried there in the field. And when something suddenly happened to them, nobody knew where that treasure was except those that had buried that. Nobody knew where the treasure was buried, but if they unexpectedly passed away and they died, or their family was overrun by the nomadic tribes of that day, which many, many times were, and people were killed, then a person could go in and claim that land and purchase that land, and they would be able to obtain everything that's in that field. And they'd go out there and they'd dig. If they knew a little bit about that person, they knew that they had treasure. And you'd find where they'd dig a hole here, wasn't anything there. They'd dig a hole there, wasn't anything there. But all of a sudden, they'd dig in the right place, and they'd find that treasure. They'd find that which had been buried in the field, and they didn't get it the first time. They'd not have got it the second time, or the third, or the fourth time. But because of their importunity, because of their willingness to go and to dig and to win, and the willing to do the things of God, all of a sudden, there's a treasure that sprung up before them. And folks, that's the same way for you and I. If we will dig in this world in which we live, we know in the New Testament, in the Gospel of Matthew, that the field is the world. We have a field before us, and it's wide of the harvest. It's already, the treasures are buried there, and we've got to go and to dig into that field. And if we will dig, God will give the victory, and God will show and will give us treasures that have been hidden, treasures that have been darkened. But thank God, the light of the glorious gospel will spring on them, and they'll become a new creature in Christ Jesus simply because we go and get into the harvest fields of the Lord. The Scripture tells us that is our, should be our desire. We find in Psalm 126 and verse number 6, one of the greatest verses I feel in my heart of the entire Word of God. If some of the children out here, sometimes they have folks to sign their Bible. And I've signed a lot of their Bibles. And every time I have signed my name, I've always put that verse right there beside it, because we must be willing to go into the harvest fields. We must be willing. We've got to go and to tell the world that Jesus saves. Psalm 126 and verse number 6, we see the faith of the servant. He has faith, he that goeth forth. If we're not going to have faith, if we're going to get anything, then we're going to sit at home. We're not going to do anything. We're not going to get into the harvest field. We're not going to be telling anybody about the Lord Jesus Christ. But here, he that goeth forth. Thank God we can have faith in God and know that when we go forth, God's going to give the victory. Knowing that when we go and knock on some doors or go tell someone, go hand someone a tract, go give them a little old tract that says, thank you, I appreciate what you've done for me. And then on the inside of that tract, there's a message there of how a person can get saved, how they can get born again. We've got to go into the fields, and they're white to harvest already. Many things have been lost, and the harvest is going undone. But there's a treasure out there if we will get in the harvest field. There's a treasure. We could fill this building and we'd have to build another building. And oh, may God help us to get the vision of people dying without God, dying without hope, going to devil's hell. And we need to get into the fields of harvest and to get that treasure and to pluck that treasure and to get it over here in the house of God where there'll be more treasures there, because we've been built and been placed in Him, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are treasures that we better get and have in our life. But we see the faith of the servant, he that goeth forth. Then we see the faith in the seed. Thank God you don't just go forth. I've got something that I can plant. I've got the seed, which is the Word of God. He that goeth forth bearing precious seed. We've got faith. I've got faith in this book right here, Brother Jay, that it'll do just exactly what God said it'd do. I believe if I go tell someone that they're a lost sinner, I believe the work of God, the Spirit of God will prick that person's heart. It might not happen then. It might not go right then. But somewhere down the line, the Word of God will bring forth fruitation in their heart, and they'll realize the need of the Lord. They won't have to die and go to hell. They won't have to be a sinner. They won't have to go and be lost all their life. But the Word of God, I have faith in it. I have faith that it'll do what it says it'll do. I have faith that God will do what He says He'll do. And we have that belief, and therefore we can go forth bearing precious seed, having faith in the Son of God, having faith in the seed of God, having faith in the Word of God, knowing that it'll bring forth fruit unto our harvest. Then we find not only faith in the servant, faith in the seed, but thank God there's fruit in that seed. There's fruit, and I've said that already, that it'll bring forth fruit. It'll bring forth abundant fruit, and it'll give us, he that goeth forth and reapeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again. Shall doubtless come again, bringing his sheaves with him. There's that fruit that will be attributed to our account because of what we did, because of getting into the harvest field and digging out that treasure of a person, a man, a woman, a boy, a girl that's dying without God, gone to hell. Folks, we are treasures. We are people that are living. We are people that are living souls. And the Lord Jesus Christ died that we might not have to go to hell. He died that we not die without Him. He went to the cross of Calvary that I might go to the crowns of glory. And we would have the things of the Lord in our lives to know Him personally as our Savior. Amen. That's the work of every believer. To have faith in the servant. To have faith in the seed and then the faith of the fruit that will come forth from that seed. I want us to think this morning just a little bit about this field that we're talking about the faithful, and then about the fruit. The field, of course, we know that the region of our field, the region of our work, is the world. It's the message of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. It's not a message just to Hanson, Kentucky. It's not a message just to these surrounding houses in this area. It's not a message just to Madisonville down the road here. It's not a message just to the state of Kentucky. It's not a message just to the United States of America. But it's a message that the world is the field, and the field is the world that we've got to get into and to realize that men and women, boys and girls, are dying without God. They're going to hell because nobody has got into the harvest field. That's why I push missions. That's why I believe in missionaries. That's why if God let me, I'd go tomorrow to go tell someone about the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, today, folks, we better realize the region of our work is the world. The region in which we have. For years, people have said, now, this is my church field, and that's your church field. Don't you cross this line and get on my church field. That's a bunch of junk. Our field is the world, and we're to tell the world about Jesus Christ. I told someone this week, if I hear someone getting saved down the road, I rejoice in that. I rejoice when someone comes and gets born into the family of God. That's the work, that's the treasure that we better dig out and give that seed which we can have faith in and to realize that it'll bring forth fruit. Doesn't matter to me if it's across America, in another state, to hear somebody get saved, born again by the Spirit of the Lord. Our field and our region is the world in which we live. The Bible gives us, the Lord gave unto His church the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. It says, all power, all authority. All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And He says, go ye therefore and preach the gospel. The problem that we've had in America for years, that we've got away, you hear me, we've gotten away from preaching the Word of God, preaching the gospel of the Lord, and therefore people are not getting saved. I know we've got to preach the whole counsel of God. I realize that. And the whole counsel of God has to be proclaimed, and the message of salvation is in that. And we've got to tell the story of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've gotten away from that. For years, America has had its... We've had our big programs. We've had everything come by. And we are so gullible, we take everything the devil's put our way sometimes. And we take up everything that's new. We're about like the folks at Myers Hill, always wanting something new. Folks, we don't need anything new. We just need to get in the old book and study the Word of God, preach the Word of God, and to find out that God will give forth a victory. The Bible tells us that the world is our region, the maniac of Gadara. In Mark chapter number 5, the Lord says, go home and tell what good things that the Lord has done for thee. He didn't tell him, that maniac, that man that had been in bondage to sin, that man that had walked around the tombstones and lived there, that man that had no clothes upon his back, he was a maniac. And he, when the Lord saved him, he said, I'm going to follow you, Lord. I'm going to go with you. And the Lord said, no, you go back to your people and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you. Folks, we are a debtor. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 1, that the Apostle Paul said, I am a debtor both to the Greek and to the barbarian. He said, I'm a debtor to the Jew, the Gentile. He said, I owe them something because we're to go back and tell our others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we find here that we find that the field is the world, and we are to not be just in a little portion of it. We're to be in all the world. That's why we support missionaries. That's why we give. That's why we go. That's why we work. That's why we talk. That's why we preach. Everything geared around preaching the gospel to a lost and dying world. A world that is without God. A world that needs the Lord. Back a few years ago, there's that song came out, very popular. And it still is popular in my heart and my mind that people need the Lord. Amen. People need God. Amen. There are folks in this building this morning, you need the Lord. Amen. There's people in this building today, you need God to save you. There's folks in this building, maybe you say, but you need the Lord to come by and to warm your cold, stony heart again and to break that heart and to break down that wall that's been built up by sin. But we need the Lord. We need God. And if we'll get into the field, the harvest field, we'll find that there's a vast treasure there that is untapped. The resources are there, but we have not got to it yet. And we must, oh, how we must get into the harvest field. Because there's a night coming. And the Bible says that the night comes when no man shall work. There's a time coming, and I believe soon, very soon, there's a time coming that we won't be able to go out on visitation like we did yesterday. Why? Because I'm not going to be here. I'm going to be with the Lord. I believe Jesus is coming again. There's a time coming when we're not going to be able to knock on doors. There's a time coming when the night is upon us. The day is spent and no one, oh, so many need to be saved. The field is the world and we're not to be weary in well-doing. From the candlelight that shines to the street lights of the city. From the candlelight over here in the little villages that have no electricity around this world. To the busy streets of the cities, we're to tell the world Jesus saves. We're to tell them from the darkest portion of the world that has never had civilization and does not know anything about God, doesn't know about the Lord. We're to go and to tell them from there to a country such as ours that needs the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to go and to tell them from the dusty roads to the busy highways that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Give the winds a mighty voice that Jesus saves. Oh, the field, that's our region today. I wonder how many times have we neglected the field. I wonder how many times we have planted the seed and then we've neglected that seed. And we've shared with you before how that if you let that go, the weeds and the thorns and the thistles and all those things will come up and will choke that word and it'll not have effect upon people. Oh, we need to get into the harvest field and to realize to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. Then not only the field, but secondly, I want us to notice the responsibility that we have to the wayward, the faithful. We that are faithful, the responsibility that we have to those that are wayward. We hear the question asked, maybe not in these words, but the attitude at least is upon us. Am I my brother's keeper? What is it to me? That's what some of those folks said in the Old Testament. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Oh, today we need to realize that there's a responsibility that we have as a child of God to tell the world about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a responsibility for us to be faithful in the work of the Lord Jesus. Now, being faithful just simply means being faithful. I believe I'll be faithful to everything that God gives us to do. I believe I'll be honoring the Lord. I believe I'll be in the place that we ought to be in. I believe I'll serve God. I believe I'll just follow the will of God and be faithful, be found there every time that we're to be there. The reason many times that things are going left undone is because of the faithless people that call themselves children of God. Faithfulness, how that we must have that. How that we've got to have faith in the work of the Lord. If you would turn with me over to the book of Romans, chapter number 1, and verse number 13. Paul says here concerning this being faithful, this verse that I read to you, or quoted to you a while ago, he says in verse 13, now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come to you, but was let or hindered hitherto, that I might have come, might have some fruit among you also, even among the Gentile. And he says, I am debtor both to the Greeks, to the barbarian, both to the wise, to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to them that are Rome. Paul said, I am a debtor. Paul said, I've got to be faithful to the Greeks. I've got to be faithful to the barbarian. I've got to be faithful to those people at Rome because he was saved. He said, I've got faithful in my heart and must be faithful in my soul that others might come to know Christ. If everyone served the Lord like you serve the Lord, what kind of service would the Lord have? If every one of us today, if everyone served God just like we serve Him, that puts it down on our level, doesn't it? That puts it upon us as a responsibility that we have, that we as a child of God, if everybody did what we do, what would the world be like? If everybody loved the Lord like we love the Lord, how much would the Lord be loved? If everybody witnessed like I witnessed, how many people would be witnessed unto? If everybody did what I do for the Lord, how much would get accomplished? How much would be done? I'm afraid so many times when I have to answer those questions and I ask myself those questions, I'll come up short. I'll come up not faithful. I'll come up not willing that I would want to face those things. But by the grace of God, when we see ourselves as we are, we fall on our face to God and say, God, help me to be faithful in the work of the Lord. The work of God suffers because people are not faithful. The work of God goes undone because people are not faithful. I wonder how much more we could do here if everybody was faithful. I wonder how much more we could go. I wonder how much more we could give. I wonder how much more we could accomplish if everybody was faithful to the Lord. My heart's desire is to see things built. My desire is not some kingdom to be built or some big, magnificent thing, but folks, that we would be built up and edified in the Word of God to show to this world around us that Jesus does care, that Jesus does love, that Jesus does have compassion upon a world that's dying without Him, that He wants to bring them to Himself. And the only way the world can see that is through you and I. Treasures in the harvest field that are left undone. How that we need the faithful. That's our responsibility. To the wayward, those that are undone. We are to be lights and to lead them from darkness. We are to show the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to show the liberty that we have in the Lord, not in the sense of having occasion to sin, but that we would have liberty to show them the blessed love of our Savior Jesus Christ. Responsibility. We're to go into all the world, the Bible says in Matthew 28:18. The Bible says we're to glow in the world. We're to be a light put upon a hillside. We're to be a light not put under a basket, but we're to glow that others might see the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would get into the harvest fields and find and dig out those treasures that are there. Folks, there are people around Grace Baptist Church that need to be saved. They need to be born again. And until we get into the harvest field, they're going to be left undone. We need to be like a light, like a man that has a candle and he sticks it on a hillside that the world around him might see. We are not only to be going into the world, we're to glow in the world. Then the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 16, that our labor is not in vain. We're to sow seed in this world. And we've already found that the seed is the Word of God. Then we find that we're to grow in the world from babes in Christ to mature Christians to do the work of God. The problem is in the house of God, in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's too many people that are still babes in Christ. They haven't grown. They haven't taken on that spiritual maturity that they must have. They're still, as Paul says to the people of Corinthians, in that first letter to Corinthians, he said, I have had to feed you with milk because you were not able to withstand the meat of the Word of God. He says, he tells us there that we are to move from that milk and we're to take on a substance. We're to take on solid food. We're pictured in this world as a Christian just like a little baby. When a person first gets saved, a lot of people think they've got to be full grown, but they're not. They're just a baby in Christ. They've still got to learn. They've got to grow up. They've got to learn just like our children learn from us. And we've got to learn from the Word of God. They're a baby in Christ. The problem is when they stay a baby. They don't need to stay a child. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. But he said, now I've become a man and I put away foolish or childish things. And we need to grow and mature and become an adult Christian for God. And if we'll do that, we'll be in the harvest fields. If we'll do that, we'll be busy. If we'll do that, we'll be faithful. And the wayward will hear that there is a God in glory. Then we find in Deuteronomy chapter number 10, verse number 19, it says, love ye therefore the strangers, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Oh, I thank God that one day I was a stranger and a pilgrim away from God in the land of Egypt, in the land of sin. But somebody loved me, and that was my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And He tells me that we are to love the strangers because we were once there.
Amen.
The Bible says in the New Testament he mentions a lot of different kind of people. He mentions the effeminate. He mentions the whoremonger. He mentions the murderer. He mentions all those. And the Apostle Paul says, and such were some of you. We used to be strangers, didn't we? We used to be away from God, didn't we? But oh, I'm glad somebody loved me. I'm glad somebody cared enough to preach the Word of God to me. I'm glad somebody cared enough to pray for me. I'm glad somebody cared enough to call my name before the throne of God. And because of that, and because of the preaching of the Word of God, and the faithfulness of somebody, I thank God one day I got saved. Got born again. And we could go around this building this morning, and I could ask you who influenced you. And every one of us could look back and think about somebody influenced me for the Lord. Amen. Somebody had an influence. You didn't get saved just because you wanted to be. If you did, you better check her up. Only a person gets saved just because they want to get saved. You're going to want to get saved when the Spirit of God works on your heart. When somebody's prayed for you. Somebody's dealt with you. Somebody cares about you. Somebody loves you. The way some people talk, nobody can get saved because God hates them. But I'm glad God loves them. I'm glad the love of God constrains us. It holds us back in some areas, but I'm glad it also pushes us forward in some areas. If some people would get, if some people witness like they say they do, then I don't have any question why they don't have anybody saved. Folks, if we don't go to the world and have compassion on them, if we don't let them know we care about them, then we're not just doing it because it's a mechanical habit we've got to do. We don't just go knock on doors because it's expected of us, but we go because we care about people. We go because the Lord compels us and tells us to go and presses us onward. But we do it because there's a love that's in our heart and in our soul. If it's not there, it won't do any good at all. If we don't have the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and realize that people are going to hell, have some compassion on them, they're still going to die and go to hell. I wonder how many people have died without God because of the faithless, because of those that have no care, because of those that have no love. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 10, 19, where I read, love ye therefore the strangers. You say, oh, I don't know that fellow. I don't know what kind of person they are. It does not matter. They need the Lord. Amen. That's right. Brother Earl and I was talking about that yesterday. The ladies went and visited a lady yesterday. She may be here this morning. I don't know. But somebody needs to go and tell people that Jesus loves them. That dear lady said only two churches come to see them was this church and Maranatha Baptist Church. And folks, there's people all over this country that need God. They need the Lord. You say, oh, they don't look like I look. They still need God. You were once a stranger. Oh, they don't smell like I smell. No, but you were once in the same condition. They down there in the hog pen. They down there in the slime. They down there in the mire. But oh, thank God, when we go to them with the Lord Jesus Christ, He cleans up the inside and the outside. He'll make us a new creature in the Lord. We better reach the people of this world because they're going to die. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what you are. Doesn't matter what position you might have or how low down the run you might think you are. Thank God Jesus died for you. Jesus cares. Jesus has the answer to all the problems and the cares of this life. Then all when we do that, thank God there's a fruit. And there's requirements for the workers. There's going to be a harvest. But there's some requirements that we must have. True service will bring forth a true harvest. Now this stuff mechanical, that's no good. But I'm talking about true service. That will bring forth a harvest of souls. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 8 and verse number 21, that I may cause these that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasure. All today, I want my treasures filled. I want my treasure chest filled with the substance of people that have been won unto the Lord. We get letters back from our missionaries, and they say, these folks have just gotten saved, and they've been put to your account. That thrills my heart. You know what that is? That's my treasure chest being filled. That's the treasure chest of this church being filled with people that know the Lord. I thank God when people walk down this aisle and they trust the Lord. Is there, you know what that is? That's our treasure chest being filled. And the Lord says here, He says that I may cause these that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasure. Who's doing the speaking there? The Lord. I will fill their treasure. There must be a reverence for our Father. No man can serve two masters. He's got to serve one. Hold on to one, let go of the other. There's the requirements that we have reverence for the Father. In the book of Romans, chapter number 9, verse number 1, we find that there's remorse. There has to be this remorse that I was speaking of just a moment ago. That sorrow for those who are lost. You find this in the life of the Apostle Paul. He says, I say a truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ, for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. You know what Paul was saying there? He's saying more than probably any of us would ever be able to say. Paul said, I wish myself to be accursed or to be damned. He said, I would go to hell. Literally, he's saying here, I would go to hell for my kinsmen. I don't know if I'd have that kind of remorse, that feeling or not. I'm glad I don't have to go to hell. But I don't have that desire to say, I'd go to hell for you. I've heard a different preacher, I've heard Brother Sisson say, I'd love to go back there and take your place. Folks, that ought to be our desire. To go back and take somebody's place, know what they're feeling, and realize their need and to help them. We must have remorse for those that are fallen. Christ had compassion. Paul had compassion. We must have compassion. We better have respect for failure. I read in 1 Peter chapter number 5, verse number 5. Peter says, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yea, all of you subject one to another. And be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Wonder why the Lord permitted Peter to write that. I know why, because he was once proud. Peter once said, I'll not eat with a Gentile. Lord, I'll not take anything unclean. I'll not do that. And the Lord had to teach him a lesson that anything God made was not unclean. And sometimes we better realize that every soul that's living today, they're a soul that's bound somewhere for eternity. They're going to heaven or hell, and all the multitudes of them are going to a devil's hell. They're going to a place of fire and brimstone that's real and eternal. And we better have compassion on them. He gives grace to the humble, but God resists the proud. I believe Peter learned that in his life. Then we must renounce our flesh. We must know that this old flesh is the enemy. It's the one that we've got to defeat. It's the one we've got to crucify. It's the one that we've got to say no to. And we've got to say yes under the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, I'm glad I can do these things. I'm glad there's a harvest field out there. I like in the fall of the year to see the wheat fields, in the spring of the year to see the winter wheat come on. I enjoy seeing the harvest of corn in the fall. How that those, you see a field that's planted and they're out there diligently working. And it doesn't look like much in the beginning, but oh, just give it a few weeks. Things begin to change. It may not look like much as they plow the dirt and the dust rises and they put that seed in the ground. But you know what? They have faith in that seed that's going to bear fruit. Now, it may not look like a whole lot sometimes to us. We go out and plow. We go out and do things, spiritually speaking. We plant some seed in the ground. But just wait a little while. God will give the increase. Just wait a little while. God will bring forth. And you look in these old fields across here and all of a sudden they begin to have a green cast to them. What is that? Those little corn coming up. And a little bit later, another week or two, they're up tall enough you can see it. And then they mature and they grow. And before long, they have the ears of corn on them. And then they begin to turn brown. And folks, we're in that place right now where they're turning brown. We're in that place. The Bible says a white unto harvest. And that meant when you look over a wheat field that's ready and ripened, it gives forth a white cast. It means it's ready to be plucked. And we better get in that field and tell the world. We better get in that field and take some treasures. He says there, where we read there in Proverbs, with this we'll close, I will fill their treasure. We need to go out and just get in the fields. Read the book of Ruth. You'll find that Ruth went out into Boaz's field and she gleaned off of those fields. She did that, why? Because she took what was left over. But the Lord tells us to get in the fields. They're white to harvest. We can fill our treasures. We can fill it up abundantly. We'd have to do more than what we thought would be have to be done if we just get into the fields that are white already. Under harvest. Don't say yet 3 months and then harvest. No. Summer is just about ended. And we're still not saved. The harvest field is ready. God has given us a treasure in that field. And he says, I will fill your treasure. So what keeps us from filling our treasure? Unfaithfulness. Unconcern. Undesiring. Busy about our own business. That's what keeps us from filling our treasures. We need to fill our treasures. It's on the other side. We spend all of our life working for treasures on this side and do nothing for treasures on the other side. We spend our hours, and I know people, we have to make a living. I know people have to work. But we spend so much time working for earthly treasures that will pass away. And we spend so little time working for heavenly treasures that will last through eternity. Or if we just get things balanced out right and serve the Lord and to realize, to commit ourselves, to realize that there is a great and glorious treasure out there in those harvest fields. Treasures in the harvest fields of this world. Today, are we in that work? Are we in that business? If not, we ought to be. Are you giving? Are you going? Are you serving? If not, you ought to be. Maybe you're in this building this morning, and you're one of those treasures. Maybe you're one of those that need to be gathered in today. Maybe you're one of those that's been in the field so long. You're lost, and you know you're lost. You know you need God. You know you need salvation. Maybe you're one of those that somebody needs to gather and put in their treasure chest this morning. Oh, may God help us. May the Lord make us realize the responsibility that we have to tell the world, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let's stand this morning.